But today, this science compels me to suffer the same inner state that I experienced on the eve of the death of my mother, my love for whom had been the sole hearth of warmth that for so many years sustained my empty and wearisome life. To this day, I cannot recall without a shudder the moment when our physicians told me that my mother could not live another day. In that terrible state of mind, the first question that arose in me was, how shall I go on living? What happened afterwards, I have already told you. In a word, as I became absorbed in the science of vibrations, I gradually found a new divinity. This science took the place of my mother for me, and during many years has proved just as sustaining, true, and faithful as my own mother had been. And to this day, I have lived and been animated by its truths alone. Until now, there has not been a single instance in which the truths I have discovered concerning the laws of vibrations failed to yield in their manifestations the precise results I expected. But today, for the first time, the results I confidently expected did not appear. What torments me the most is that today I was more careful than ever in calculating the vibrations required for the given case. That is to say, I calculated exactly that the boil should appear in just that place on your body and nowhere else. And here, the unprecedented has happened. Not only is there no boil in the designated place, but none has been formed on any part of your body at all. This science, which until now has taken the place of my faithful mother, has failed me today for the first time, and there is present in me at this moment an indescribable sorrow. Today I can still reconcile myself to this appalling misfortune, but what tomorrow will be I cannot even picture to myself. And if today I can still somehow reconcile myself, it is simply because I remember very well the words of our great prophet of ancient times, Esai Noura, who said, only when in death agony is an individual not responsible for his manifestations. Evidently, my science, my divinity, my second mother, is also in its death agony, if it has now betrayed me. I know very well that death agony is always followed by death. And you, dear friend of my friend, have involuntarily taken the place of those physicians who, on the eve of my dear mother's death, announced to me that she could not live another day. For you are the bearer of just such news, telling me that tomorrow this new hearth of mine will also be extinguished. The same terrible feelings and sensations are surging up in me as I experienced from the moment our physicians announced the imminent death of my mother until she actually died. Just as then, in the midst of those terrible feelings and sensations, there was still the hope that perhaps she would not die, so now something like that hope is still flickering in me. Friend of my friend, now that you know the state of my soul, I beseech you, can you explain to me through what supernatural force the boil that should infallibly have been formed on your left leg did not appear? For the certainty that it would infallibly be formed was based on a faith that long ago became as unshakable in me as the Tuklunian stone. And it has become so firm and unshakable because for almost 40 years, day and night, I have persistently studied these great laws of world vibrations until the understanding of their meaning and of their actualization has become, as it were, my second nature. Having said these words, this sage, perhaps the last great sage of the earth, looked into my eyes with an expression full of anticipation. Can you picture to yourself, my dear boy, the predicament I was in? What could I reply to him? For the second time that day, I could not see any way out of the situation that had arisen on account of this terrestrial being. And this time, that state, so unusual for me, was permeated with my being hikshnapa, or as your favorites say, pity, for that terrestrial three-brain being, chiefly because he was suffering on my account. And this was because I was clearly aware that a few words would have sufficed not only to calm him, but to make him understand that the absence of a boil on my left leg proved the truth and precision of his adored science still more. I had full moral right to tell him the truth about myself, since by his attainments he had already become Kalmanuior, that is, a three-brained being of that planet with whom it is not forbidden us from above to be sincere. But I could not possibly do this at that moment in the presence of the dervish Haji Boga Erin, who was still an ordinary three-brained being, that is, one of those terrestrial beings to whom the members of our tribe had long since been forbidden under oath from above to communicate true information in any circumstances whatsoever. It seems that this interdiction was imposed upon the beings of our tribe on the initiative of the very saintly Ashiara Shiamash. And this interdiction was imposed on our tribe chiefly because it is indispensable for the three-brained beings of your planet to have knowledge of being. Any information, even if true, in general gives beings only mental knowledge. And this mental knowledge, as I have already told you, serves them merely as a factor to lessen their possibilities of acquiring knowledge of being. And since this knowledge of being is the sole means left to your unfortunate favorites for their final liberation from the consequences of the properties of the organ Kundabhava, this command concerning the beings of the earth was given under oath to the beings of our tribe. And that is why, my boy, in the presence of the dervish Boga Erin, I refrain from explaining to this worthy terrestrial sage, Haji Aspas Kruv, the real reason for his failure. But as both dervishes were waiting for my reply, I had in any case to tell them something. And so, addressing Haji Aspas Kruv, I simply said this: Venerable Haji Aspas Kruv, if you agree to have my answer not now, but a little later, I swear by the cause of my arising that I will give you an answer that will fully satisfy you. You will not only be convinced that your beloved science is the truest of all sciences, but will also realize that you yourself, since the saints Chun Kiltes and Chun Tropel, are the greatest scientist of the earth. On hearing my reply, the venerable dervish Haji Aspas Kruv merely placed his right hand where the heart is found in terrestrial beings, and in that locality this gesture means, I believe and hope without doubt. Then, as if nothing had happened, he turned to the dervish Boga Erin and began to speak again about the science of Shat Trimernas. In order to smooth over the previous embarrassment, I pointed to a niche in the wall where many rolls of colored silk fabrics were piled up and asked him, Most estimable Haji, what is all that material for over there in the niche? To this question of mine, he replied that these colored fabrics were also used for his experiments on vibrations. And he went on to say, I recently made it clear to myself which colors act harmfully by their vibrations on people and animals, and to what extent. If you wish, I will also show you this highly interesting experiment. Whereupon he got up again and went into the adjoining section of the cave, from which, with the help of the boy, he soon led in three quadruped terrestrial beings called a dog, a sheep, and a goat, and he also brought in several strangely shaped devices resembling bracelets. He put one of these special bracelets on the arm of the dervish Boga Edin and another on his own, saying to me as he did so, "I am not putting one of these on you, as I have rather weighty reasons for not doing so." He next put one of these strange collar-like devices around the neck of each of the animals, and indicating the vibrometers on these devices, asked us to remember or write down all the figures indicated by the needles of the vibrometers on each of these outwardly different beings. We looked at the figures shown by all five vibrometers and wrote them down on writing pads that the boy had given us. Then the dervish Asfaz Truv came and sat down again on the felt and told us the following. Every form of life has its own totality of vibrations proper to it, which represents the sum of the vibrations engendered by all the separate organs of that form of life. And in every form of life, this sum varies at different times, depending on how intensely the corresponding sources or organs transform these vibrations of diverse origin. Now, within the limits of a whole life, all these heterogeneous vibrations of diverse origin always blend into what is called the general subjective chord of vibrations of that life. Just take as an example my friend Boga Edin and myself. You see, and showing me the figures on the vibrometer on his arm, he continued, "I have a totality of so and so many vibrations, and my friend Boga Edin has so many more. This is because he is much younger than I, and some of his organs function much more intensively than mine, thereby producing in him corresponding vibrations that are much more intense. Now look at the figures on the vibrometers of the dog, the sheep, and the goat. The sum total of the vibrations of the dog is 3 times greater than that of the sheep, and 1.5 times greater than that of the goat, while the total number of vibrations of its general chord of vibrations is only a trifle less than mine and that of my friend. But it must be remarked that, especially in recent times, there are many men to be met with who have not even as great a number of vibrations in the subjective chord of vibrations of their common presence as the number shown for the presence of this dog. This has come about because in most of these people, one of the functions, namely the function of emotion, which gives the greatest number of subjective vibrations, is almost completely atrophied. And so the sum total of the vibrations in them proves to be less than in this dog." With these words, the Venerable Haji Asfaz Truv got up again and went to the place where the fabrics of different colors lay. He began to unroll these colored fabrics woven out of Bukharian silk, color by color. Taking one color at a time and using specially constructed rollers, he covered not only all the walls and the ceiling, but even the floor of the room, so that the whole interior space was draped with material of the same color. And each time the color was changed, the total number of vibrations of each form of life was altered. After these experiments with the colored materials, this great contemporary terrestrial scientist asked us to follow him. And leaving this part of the cave, we went back into the main passage and then entered another small passage leading off to one side. Behind us trotted the goat, the sheep, and the dog with their improvised collars. We walked for some time until we finally came to the principal chamber of this underground domain. There, the venerable dervish, Haji Asfas Truv, went over to a niche in one of the walls of that big underground space and, pointing to a large pile of material of a very strange color, he said, "This material is woven specially from the fibers of the plant Chaltandra and has kept its natural color. This plant, Chaltandra, is one of the rare formations on the earth whose color does not have the property of changing the vibrations of other nearby sources and is itself completely unaffected by all other vibrations. That is why, from my experiments on vibrations arising from sources other than color, I ordered this particular material and had something like a large tent made out of it, designed so that if one wished, it could fill the whole of this underground space or be moved in any direction and given any shape desired. And with this original tent, I am now carrying out my experiments, namely those experiments I call architectural, and these are making clear to me precisely what kind of interior spaces act harmfully upon people and animals, and to what extent." These architectural experiments have already fully convinced me not only that the size and the general interior form of a place have an enormous influence on people and animals, but also that all interior curves, angles, projections, breaks in the walls, and so on, bringing about changes in the vibrations proceeding in the atmosphere of the place, always contribute to improving or worsening the subjective vibrations of the people and animals there. When he began making his experiments in our presence with this large tent, I noticed, among other things, that the changing vibrations, acting in response to various surrounding causes, affected the common presence of the three-brained beings who have taken your fancy much more strongly than that of the one-brained and two-brained beings. Evidently, this also is the consequence of the abnormal inner and outer conditions of their ordinary being existence.